You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Encouraging One Another Ministries. And now, here is your host, Tom Jones.
The Lord reigns, let the people shout. He reigns in righteousness. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. The Lord reigns. Let the people clap their hands. Angels shout. The redeemed have come to dance. To celebrate. To celebrate. He reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns.
Good morning, Saints of God. This is Tom, and it is time to wake up. I'm here. This is what I think I've been gone for 3 weeks. Danny, thank you for putting on some programs for me, and those of you that I appreciate your prayers. Probably one of the hardest things I think I've ever gone through was back surgery. It's quite painful, but I believe we're living in a time where the Lord just wants to just wake our hearts up. Wake our hearts up and realize what's really important when I was in the hospital and so much pain, especially after surgery. I remember hours and hours crying, and my wife was rubbing my back, and I knew the Lord was with me. I just knew in my heart, there was a peace in my heart that I knew he was with me. But I'm reminded, like the one leper, I remember in the scriptures it tells us that there were 10, but only one went back to thank Jesus. And then Jesus looked at him and said, well, where are the other nine? And he didn't know, and he just thanked Jesus for healing him. And Jesus said, be made whole. And when Jesus told him, be made whole, I've been to the leper colony in Kalapapa. It's in one of the islands in Hawaii on the island of Molokai. And when you see someone that had leprosy, now we have a cure for it today, but back then when I was at the colony, there were people that were granted to stay there because their parents had leprosy. And so this little colony, the government just made it a colony for the lepers. And if you ever would come in contact with a leper, it's still it was cured back then, but you would see that they'd have stubby fingers, half of a nose, half of an ear, parts of their body were eaten away until they got their medicine. But I believe when Jesus told the one leper, you know, be made whole, and he walked away where the other nine were still healed and he was healed. But when Jesus told the one, be made whole, he walked away. He had no scars of ever having leprosy at all. There is something in saying thank you. There has to be being grateful and having a humble heart. When the one leper said, thank you, Jesus, thank you for touching me, Jesus wondered where the other nine were. But that man stayed focused and said, thank you. And Jesus told him, be made whole. And he walked away. He was still healed, but he had no scars of ever having leprosy. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that you and I serve. We serve a great God. Are you grateful today? Are you grateful for what he's done for you? Are you grumbling and complaining? This is the day the Lord has made. The scriptures tell us, let us rejoice. Or did it say, let us complain and be glad? No, it said, let us rejoice and be glad. So I want to say a couple thank yous to a few people. Danny, thank you for taking over my program and putting on some past programs. I hope I didn't put anyone to sleep. I'm sure I usually do. But thank you, Danny, for everything you do here at 91.5 FM. Also, thank you to my lovely wife, who I feel, you know, I'm still a little bit handicapped, but you know, she never complains. She has to kind of bathe me and help me. You know, it's just like I'm almost partially paralyzed. So I want to graciously thank my wife for all that she's done. Never complains. If I drop something, she has to pick it up, and I can't even put my pants on. I mean, I'm kind of embarrassed to say that, y'all, but she graciously helps me dress, and I can't thank her enough. Mark and Mary, thank you for, they were at the hospital. Mark calls me just about every day, and Mark and Mary, thank you for your prayers, your support, and believing in me to get back on my feet again. Lisa and Michael, thank you for your prayers and your support as well. I graciously, humbly come to say thank you to my wife, Mark and Mary, Lisa, my business partner, Paul Watson, who has had to, I think it's been a blessing. I think he's excited I'm gone from work. You know, the other day, it's just like, well, you know, it's you know, he didn't seem to miss me at all. I mean, you know, gee, I'm his business partner, and yeah, I'm getting along okay. I said, you are? Yep. You know, and so I thank him for all the time that I've had off to recover. I did work a few hours yesterday. It kind of wore me out. But, Paul, thank you for still paying me a little bit. Thank you. I appreciate that, Paul. Thank you. Nick Simmons is here with me. He's going to be sharing in a minute. Thank you, Nick, for helping me out around the house and for helping Paul with the job site and for all that you do for Paul, for myself, for the company, and for mankind that you do. Jack, he's a worker that comes cuts my grass every week. I know Jack's not listening, but I want to say thanks to Jack. There is something about being grateful. You know, I think we're share if you want, Nick, but I think we're living at a time where everybody's the hustle, bustle, you know, we're in a hurry, the pressures of life, the financial pressures that we all have. You know, now we have a war going on, we lost Lindsey Graham in the Senate. Which is painful to lose a fine gentleman. I'm not bringing politics up, but whether they be Democrat or Republican, it's hard to lose anyone that is in office, but has served for, I believe he served for over 30 years, I believe, quite some time. So keep his family in prayer. You know, but I think we have to be focused. You know, we need to stay focused. What's really important in life? Is it gathering all this stuff up and accumulating tons of money? Is that what life is? You know, is that what life is about? You know, what is life? Is it just getting everything you can and not looking after the widows and orphans as Jesus told us to? Building your kingdom here on this earth, you know, and all this stuff that we accumulate. And I'm not against stuff. Don't get me wrong. The Lord wants us to have stuff. He wants you to have a nice home, a nice car, and I'm not against things. You know, I don't want to take a vow of poverty either. But there has to be a balance with things. And one scripture we're going to be talking about this morning is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. But I really feel in my heart that, are we seeking the kingdom, what we can get out of it? If you know a rich man, you can like him for what he has. You know, if you know a rich man, a millionaire, you want to pal around with him, say, okay, you know, you got stuff, you owe me. You know, you owe me. And or do you really want to get to know him and be his friend and not take anything from him? We had a relative in the family worth hundreds of millions, and I probably shouldn't say that over the air, but she's very wealthy. And a lot of times when the family would go to dinner, they'd all push the bill to her. Sandy, you pay it. You're wealthy. You know, and that was wrong, because that gets into using people. And we have to be careful with that, you know. And we have to be careful that we have a balance in this life. And I don't know about you, but I have to work on this every single day that I wake up. You know, Lord, help me spiritually, physically, help me financially as well. Give me that balance that I need each and every day that I wake up. And that's why John chapter 3 verse 30. Nick, I didn't share this with you, but John said that we must decrease, that Jesus can increase. And I think it's so important that, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you have some quiet time, you know, have some prayer time, open the Word up, you know, and study the Word. Because the Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a workman, and need not be ashamed. So we need to really have the heart. What's the heartbeat of the Father? But the heartbeat of the Father is people. He went to that cross and shed his precious blood that you and I might have life, and life more abundantly. Nick, what do you think about our society today, our churches today? I don't want to have a critical spirit here, you know, but our passion, staying focused, because the Word says, run the race with confidence, the race is set before you. This is a spiritual race that we're running, that we always keep our eyes on Him, because His Word says, perfect peace is His, who's what? Mind is stayed on Him. Not, you know, you can be in the internet all you want, and the website and all this stuff. I'm you know, that's all, that stuff is new to me a little bit. And we could be spending too much time on the websites and all that other stuff, and are we not spending any time with the Lord? And yet today, we seem to be heartless as a nation. You know, we're in chaos. No one gets along in the White House. No one gets along in the Senate. No one gets along. No one wants to cooperate. No one wants to get along. Everyone's mad. Everyone's in a hurry. And what's the answer, Nick? What's the answer?
I'd say we're in a time of the world where I'd say, to sort of give a more fresh interpretation of everything, is everybody's becoming afraid of, let's say, just losing their possessions. You know, we live in a very selfish world where everybody just wants me, like all the things they can get their hands on. And with how the world's going right now, with the war, and the economy dropping off, with various different world events, tariffs, things like that, I think people are just becoming scared of losing what value they have in this world.
But Nick, where do we get our value?
We get our value from Jesus, of course.
But do we get our value in our possessions, our stock portfolio? Do we get our possession, our identity in those things, our education, our cars, our wealth, our home? Are we going to take any of that with us?
No, because our lives are fleeting. So as we all need to remember at the end of the day that our lives are fleeting, of course, and because of that, as David describes in the Old Testament, it is all vanity. And I think the main purpose, I forgot what book it is, but the main purpose of that book is to remind everyone that things of this world are vanity and things like that. So at the end of the day, when you die, what value do you have besides in Christ?
Good point. Because I feel, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one go to the Father but through Christ. And today you have all kinds of, you know, you got AI now. You've got, they're coming up with an AI God. You can go to God now, and God will talk to you through AI. No, you can't do that. You have to go directly to God, not AI. I'm not against AI by no means, but, you know, let's have a balance in this stuff. You know, where do we get our identity? Our identity will never be found in our degrees, our possessions, our wealth, our homes, our cars. You know, you can fall in love with that. And that's one thing, you know, that I encourage you all is, are we seeking the kingdom and not the king? Are we seeking what we can get out of the rich man, what he has? You know, it's almost as if it's a bless me gospel today. You know, Lord, bless me. You know, name it, claim it, you want it, you can have it. Now, that's not necessarily true. You know, that's not true. You know, Christ suffered. How are you going to understand what other people go through if you, Nick, if you don't go through it yourself? How are you going to understand, you know, one time my wife came up and said, you know, pray for this person. And I said, right. And I listened to her. And then when I went through an incident where a gentleman in a car hit me and the gentleman died, he went under my truck and died.
Fortunate.
You know, I went through a battle and learning, you know, it was hard. I was given 2 days to live. But anyway, to make a long story short, that my focus was on, you know, stuff and things and how important, not listening to my wife, not listening to the Lord, being on Christian TV, and it's all about Tom, and look what we're doing, and look what we have, and look what we're accomplishing. And I was getting a big hit, and I really was. I'm just being honest with y'all. Until that night, these arms were wrapped around me, and the doctor gave me 2 days to live, and these arms were wrapped around me, and I thought it was a nurse, or I thought, who is this? And I thought, oh, it's my wife saying bye to me. And I woke, and it wasn't my wife. And the Lord said, I have you. And I know some of you are going to think, oh, he's far-fetched, he's off the wall. You know, he was probably hallucinating or whatever, but I wasn't. And these arms are wrapped around me, and the Lord said, it's me, I have you. And I said, Lord, I'm ready to go. He said, nope, the Holy Spirit touched my heart. He was touching my heart, saying, no, I'm not calling you home. But he said, you've been missing it. He said, you've been missing it, Tom. You've been missing it. And I didn't know what I was missing, you know? I was haughty, arrogant, prideful. And, you know, he said, you've been missing here in my heart. And so I was so weak and frail. My chest, my head fell against a chest, whether it be his chest or it was his chest. And it was his heart that I heard. And his heart said, people. That's why he went to the cross and shed his precious blood, that you and I might have life and life more abundantly. And that's what he gives us. He wants us to enjoy this life and have fun, you know? And are we having fun? Are we staying focused? Are we being critical? Are we being grumpy? You know, are we not staying focused? And I believe we're off course. I believe as a nation, maybe our churches, maybe we're off course a little bit. We need to stay focused. And when I look at the book of Matthew, looks like it's in verse 9, chapter 35. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had great compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send workers into his harvest. What do you think about that one, Nick? The harvest is plentiful, the labors are few.
I mean, it's just the usual call to action verse, as there is many in the Bible. But I think the interpretations we can take out of this verse is, of course, yes, it is a call to action. But what it really speaks to is, it's not just exactly like, oh, go out street preaching and things like that. It is, live intentionally, for the word of God and seek to share it with others. Which, of course, like street preaching, does give off that, does give that purpose as well. But there also is the purpose of relational evangelism as well. I'm a big pusher for relational evangelism.
Great.
Yeah, like make friends with people. The thing about some Christians I know is like they usually just don't really have many unsaved friends, you know. It's kind of disappointing sometimes, but I mean I understand how it is. There's a less of a relatability factor. But the reason I push for more relational evangelism is when you have a bit more of an emotional connection with somebody, it's a lot more beneficial when you give them the gospel, because in most cases, if you just go to a random person and try to give them the gospel, they'll look at you like, oh, you're like a crazy religious dude who's trying to get me into like a Bible cult or whatever. But when you have an emotional connection to that person, you've lived and you've laughed together and you've cried together. It's a lot more. It comes from a lot more of a place of like love, you know, and they understand that a lot more when they're a good friend or a good family member. When you go up to them and you tell them like, hey, like I care for you, I want to see you in heaven in the eternal kingdom. I want to see you, and I love you, and I want to tell you about eternal life that the Lord gives us. And I think with this passage, just to come back to it, with this passage, it usually like people purely interpret it as just like a call to action, just go out there marching at the streets. And yes, that's beneficial, but like there's also the work isn't only to be done on the streets. It's also to be done within the hearts of others as well, especially with those you care about. So my call to action is look to someone you care about, look to someone you want to see an eternal life, and don't be afraid to just go to them and share the gospel.
Yeah,
give them the good news.
Yeah, good point. When I was in Hawaii and in the mission field, I used to go into bars and say, praise the Lord, everyone, Jesus loves you. Then I remember hearing all the mugs hitting the countertops, and wow, the bartender said, get out. And I thought, oh, okay. And then one of my buddies lifted me over into, I don't know what kind of club it was, but I wanted to get in it, and they would throw me out, and I was determined. So my buddy hoisted me up over the wall, and I was looking down. I said, Lee, shove me more. I want to get in and minister to these people here. And he shoved me, and then my pants split. I was trying to climb over a wooden fence to get into this bar that they kept throwing me out of, and telling them all they're a sinner. You know, they know they're a sinner. You don't have to remind them. Like Nick said, sometimes, you know, I'd go up to prostitutes and minister, or the ladies of the night, rather, and share with them. And you know, one of them said, God told me to marry you. I said, what? He didn't tell me anything about it. And, you know, I was a little hard on them. And we have to remember that when you go up to a person, you can't browbeat them. You can't browbeat the gospel and cram it down their throats. Nick, you're right. You have to go there and know the person, kind of become their friends first, get to know them, and they get to know you, and then you'll have an opportunity to share Christ with them. And I believe it's the Psalms that says, as a deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. So, you know, if a deer is tasting the water and you go up and just yell at that deer, what's going to happen, Nick? What's going to happen to that deer if you yell at it?
It's gonna scurry off.
It's gonna run away. And I think sometimes we, the church, you know, we can get religious. Come on now, you know, I'm just being honest, sharing my heart here. We can really become religious. And you know, religious like the Pharisees, you know, they had the word in the head and not the heart. If you get the word in the head, you're gonna go around and tell people what they should and shouldn't be doing, and you're doing this, you need to be doing that, and you know, and they're full of rules, regulation, laws, and all this other stuff. When you get the word from the head to the heart, you're going to do those things that Jesus tells you to do. You're going to minister. God's going to make sure that you have divine appointments. He's going to make sure that he's going to bring people your way, that what he wants you to do is like Moses, open your mouth. And as he told Moses, open your mouth and I'll fill it. And he'll fill you. He'll fill your mouth with the words to share with your neighbor, your friends. But you got to love them. You got to love them. You can't be browbeating them like I used to do. I used to browbeat mm-hmm. people all the time, and they just run away from me. And I thought, wait, this is not working. And then when you just, you know, Lee played the guitar, and then we had some music going, and it, all the drug dealers would come up, the ladies of the night would come over, and they loved the music, and get to know them and talk to them. Then you have an opportunity at some point to share Christ with them, to lead them to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Great I Am. And that's what it's about. You know, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. What if he's calling you to do something? Are you going to be like Jonah and you're going to run the other way? And that's one of my biggest problems that I face today is when I'm called to do something, you know, I have to think about it, study it, plan it, analyze it. You break it down, and Jesus said, you know, no, just do it. Just do it. But I want to think about it, and I want to have a backup in all this stuff and figure God out and how he's going to do it. And sometimes it just doesn't work that way. Like when I was called to go to the mission field, I'm sure many of you have heard my story, but I got a phone call from Dr. Patrick in Hawaii, and he said, Tom, I need your help over here. I said, yeah, sure. He said, well, you know, the founder of the missions passed away, and I need your help. And I said, okay, Dr. Patrick, call me in 10 more years, and I'll get a pension check, and then I'll come and help you. Well, the anointing was when he called the help now. That's what he wanted now, not 10 years later. You know, the anointing was that I was to be obedient and pray about it, and I wasn't. My stinking thinking was, I 10 years in the military, I get 10 more years, I'm cashing in getting a pension check. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Patrick said, that's not what you told me. You told me if I ever needed help, I could call you. I hung that phone up and said, good luck. Lord, provide him someone else, because I'm not going. And guess what? My career ended, and I went over to help him. Best decision, Nick, I've ever made in my entire life. Because if you don't do it, who's going to do it? I mean, when you look at the story of Jonah, the first chapter in the book of Jonah in the Old Testament, the first verse, first chapter says, when the word of the Lord came to Jonah, what did he do with it? What did he do? He ran the other way. And that's what I'm good at doing, running the other way. I don't want to do that anymore. When the Lord tells you to do something, just do it, Nick. Mm-hmm. Just do it. If he calls you to share with someone, you know, be their friend, then love on them and encourage them. And you'll have an opportunity maybe to take them to church, and you'll have an opportunity to love on them and with God's love and encourage them, because we all need encouraging. Hebrews 3:13, if you look in the New Testament in Hebrews, it says we're to encourage one another yearly. Did it say monthly, weekly? No, it said every day. Encourage one another daily. You know, but we now have a critical spirit, and we're judgmental, and, you know, we want to condemn everyone. And, you know, you see this brother and he wants to do something, and you say, oh, you can't do that. You know, there's dream killers out there. You know, you tell somebody you want to do something, and Lord knows I have. The biggest mistake I ever made in my life is telling people I'm going to the mission field. And they said, oh, you can't do that. You can't give up that security. Think about all the security you're getting. And, you know, you'll have a pension check, and you'll have this. And, you know, I had more people, naysayers in my life than you could ever shake a stick. You know, when you're called to do something, just keep it between you and God, maybe your parents or people you really are close to. But you go out there advertising, and I'll tell you what, you're going to have a bunch of people saying, you're off, or you're out of your ever-loving mind. But stay focused. My message this morning is just, you know, stay focused. Come on, let's wake up. Let's wake up to hear the essence of his heart, which beats people. And that's what's important. That's why he went to the cross. In John 3:16, do you want to read that, Nick? John 3:16?
Yeah, sure, I'll pull it up.
You know, and that's what's important. That's what's so important, that he went to that cross to shed his precious blood, that you, that I, that all of us might have life, and life what? More abundantly. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Nick.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Yeah. Yeah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but all have everlasting life. You know, and that's what it's about. Do you know the Lord? Have you accepted the Lord? Have you repented of your sins? Do you want to get to know him? You know, do you want to fall deeper in love with him? And I'm going to play a song, Falling Deeper in Love with Him. You know, are we just all caught up wanting everything in this life? You know, we're all, the words, the scriptures tell us, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Want. Why are we in a state of wanting all the time? And there's nothing wrong, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with things. There's nothing wrong with things at all. But it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And why are we always in wanting all the time? Why are we in wanting all the time? The Lord's going to provide your needs. He's going to care for you. He's going to provide for you. Nick, have you seen that in your life? Have you seen God show up in your life?
I've definitely seen his works, and not the most conventional ways. You know, God works in mysterious ways, but I've definitely seen his works in my life. I mean, this isn't too big of a story, but it really spoke to how merciful the Lord is. But recently, like, I moved into my brother's house, and we've been living together for a while. But what happened recently is, it wasn't too recently, but I'm pretty sure the gas line was turned off by the city because it was transferring ownership. It was still on the previous owner, and then it got transferred over to my brother. So the city had to come in and turn on the gas. And the worker there, for some reason, he left the gas line leaking because it was a broken hose. So he left it leaking. So if any fire, any like absurdly hot object came into the room, then the house would have blown up and caught on fire.
Hmm.
And I didn't realize it was a gas leak at first, but later. Or earlier that day, or not long after, I lit a candle and everything. So I didn't realize until later when a friend came over and he's like, yeah, hey, there's a gas leak. We need to immediately turn it off.
Mm.
That I realized that if that gas led anywhere near the living room where I lit the candle, then I couldn't have just blown up and died. And it was really eye-opening to how merciful the Lord is. Yes. Our lives are always in his hands, yet we treat them so carelessly. And it really made me want to try and value the time that the Lord gives me a lot more. That's just my what's on my heart, you know, is treat the time that the Lord gives you with more value.
Yes.
Because you never know when, you know, some of you are probably driving in your car right now. You never know when, like, an accident may happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you're reminded how fragile your life is.
Yep.
And that time you're given right now is given by the Lord because he is merciful and he's loving. So make use of the time you have.
Yeah, so true. So true, Nick. And that happened at our house for years. My wife kept going past the laundry room and said, "Hey, say I smell gas," and I did too. And I said, "Oh, it's probably the dryer." You know, I just didn't pay any attention. So, make a long story short, we had gotten a new washer and dryer because it was old, and I figured, well, maybe it's a dryer leaking a little bit. Probably need to replace, and the washer wore out anyway. So, we got a new washer and dryer. Then all of a sudden, when they were hooking the dryer up, the bolt that goes into the wall blew out.
Mm.
It was barely. I mean, we've been in this house about that time, it was like 30 years. And so the bolt, they before they drywalled it, I guess they pushed a, turned a bolt that you screw the gas plug in, inlet in. It was barely on that thread for 30-something years. And so when they hooked the dryer up, it shot out across the room, filled the house, and I told my wife, open the windows, and then they ran outside and asked me where the gas meter was, and they turned it off. I'm just thinking, Nick, you know, could that have been when we were sleeping? You know, that could have just blown off. It was barely on the threads, the one gentleman was saying that no one ever tightened it. But that could have caused my house to blown up, and my wife and I could have been killed. My whole neighborhood could have been gone. You know, there was time I had to take my wife home, and we were gone for almost 90 days helping her parents, and her mom passed away.
Mm-hmm.
That could have shot off when we were gone, filled that house up, and it exploded and taken half the neighborhood out. So, you know, I believe the Lord sends angels down. You know, there's supernatural things that happen that we you're never going to be able to explain. I'm going to tell you, you know, you try to figure all this stuff out in life, you know, just stay close to Christ. And I'll tell you what, he'll put a hedge of protection around you. It's not going to say the storms aren't going to come. You're not going to have some downfalls, but he's there with you to help you and to lift you up and to keep you going on the right track. Because remember, the word says the steps of a righteous are ordered by him. I'm going to play a song by one of my favorite artist Michael W. Smith. Nick, I don't know if you've heard of Michael.
Probably not.
One of the famous Christian in my day growing up in Hawaii. I wanted to meet him, and he was in Hawaii a couple of times. And, you know, unfortunately, I didn't have the opportunity. Dr. Patrick has kept me busy, and I was going to school. And, you know, I so wanted to go. I should have made the time. And then one time I wanted to go to hear Michael W. Smith, and guess what? Tickets were sold out within probably 2 days of him coming to Hawaii and doing his concert. But anyway, I do listen to his music, and his music is still alive and well. Michael's still living. He's in Tennessee, was once a pastor, now a famous singer, but a very, very humble gentleman. He also performed for Billy Graham at some of Billy Graham's events. And I really respect Michael W. Smith. God's really anointed him. And this is one of his songs, You Are Holy.
Here we go!
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Michael W. Smith's music. He really encouraged the young people years ago, and he still does. Quite a on fire fella for Christ. And, you know, when we shared that scripture with you found in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to, believe it was 38, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest. I can't think of a what are the words? The greatest mission field, I believe, is not Africa, Haiti, or I believe it's America now. I believe it's America. And so if the Lord puts something on your heart to do something, Nick, like to share with someone, to encourage someone, you know, just do it. You know, you may never have that opportunity again. I remember one time I was out in Oklahoma, and very nice town, was at Assembly of God Church, and there was this gentleman, the Holy Spirit told me to go over and encourage him. And I said, Lord, that man doesn't know you. I said, Lord, that man doesn't know me. And the Holy Spirit told me he doesn't need to know you. He knows me. And I looked at him and I knew something was wrong, but I didn't go over and encourage him. And 2 weeks later, I was getting ready to leave Oklahoma. True story, Nick. And I was getting ready to leave Oklahoma and I saw him and I said, I went up to him and said, I just want to apologize. I said, 2 weeks ago, I saw you and the Lord put something on my heart to share with you. And he said, I want to, you know, apologize. And he said, well, what was the word of encouragement you had for me? And I shared it with him and he looked at me with tears streaming down his face. He said, I needed that word of encouragement 2 weeks ago, not now. And he was crying, and I felt awful. Because when the Lord tells you to do something, you know, he wants you to do it. He doesn't want you putting it off. Let someone else do it. There's no one else that's going to do it. If you don't do it, who's going to do it? Had I not gone to the mission field to work with Dr. Patrick, how on earth would those 37 orphan homes got completed? How would people have been ministered to at the prison ministry that we started in Hawaii? You know, how we have a street ministry. We had a street ministry. We had two youth groups we shared with. How was that all going to happen if I didn't stay focused and get right with God? Are you right with God today? You know, if is he telling you to do something? You know, instead of complaining that you didn't get your next Mercedes-Benz or your next million-dollar home, you're just constant strife, you know? You don't have anything good to say to anyone or anybody. You know, you're striving for more and more stuff and more things. And, you know, remember, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why are you in wanting all the time? You know, you should just learn to chill and enjoy the journey on the way where he's taking you. You know, what a joy to serve him. No matter what you go through, the storms, the hurricanes, physical pain, you know, I knew when I entered the operating room that I just said, Lord, you know, thank you for being with me. Thank you for touching my body. Thank you for using, you know, doctors. And I'm sort of in a roundabout way, had one person say, well, you just don't have enough faith. You know, so no matter what you're going through, it's not that you don't have enough faith, because the Bible tells us if you have faith of a mustard seed and do not doubt in your heart, you can say this. Have any of you seen a mustard seed, by the way? You know how small a mustard seed is? You know, and there's just people say, well, you know, you're in sin. If you've got health issues, you're in sin. You don't have enough faith. And that's not true. That's not true. We live in a falling world. The body, sometimes you need prayer and medicine to help the body. Sometimes you need a doctor to help you with your body. Yes, I'm not against Jesus totally touching the body at all. He can do that. Supernaturally, he can do that. And once he did that in my life, when I was given 2 days to live, he touched my body. And he can do that. I'm not against that. But what is his will for your life? You may have to walk through something. And I pray that when you walk through whatever it is that you have to walk through, whether it's financial, whether it's maybe facing a divorce, maybe it's a surgery that you may be facing, maybe it's a mountain pile of debt you need to have the Lord help you figure out, and he will. He'll be with you, and he'll help you. He'll give you the wisdom and the courage and the strength to get through it. But, you know, folks, I believe we need to be more dependent on him now than ever. Not the government, you know. If you look at your, you know, you get a dollar bill out, does it say in the government we trust? No, it says in God we trust. In God we trust. It doesn't say in the money. that we trust, the government we trust, it's in God we trust. And I pray today that if you're listening, that you've given your heart and life totally to Christ, that you'll fall on your knees, and you'll want a desire to get closer to Him, to fall deeper in love with Him. And you'll want to be that blessing to other people, not expect a blessing. I remember when my mom was passing away, Nick, she passed away in front of my sister and I. She said, you know, and I thought she was crazy. As a young boy, I was 13, and she said, don't expect blessings. Be a blessing. And I thought, what's she talking about? What in the world is she talking about? Don't expect blessings. Be a blessing. And that's what I'm sharing with you today. Be that blessing that He wants you to be. You know, encourage that person that maybe need a word of encouragement. A friend of mine, Mark, told me they saw some guy needing some water. He was thirsty, and they went and bought him some water. We are His hands, and we are His eyes, and we are His ears. We are His mouth. If you don't do it, how's it going to get done? Nick, how's it going to get done? You look at the streets of L.A., and I'm not being political here. You look at the streets of L.A., you look at the city of New York now that the mayor is now letting homeless people live on 12th Street, and I don't know how many other streets the homeless people are living on. Why aren't those homeless people living in apartments, you know? Someone taking care of them. Some of them have mental issues, drug problems. Why aren't we ministering to these people? You know, why aren't we going after them? But they can live comfortable in their high-rises and their penthouses and their mansions, you know, and I'm not getting political here. You know, but if we're not careful, we're going to tip the scale where we may not be America anymore. We may not be America, you know? We may not be, you know? And when a person comes into Congress or the Senate, and I'm not being political here, and you want to be a senator, or a congressman, a governor, you need to put your hand on the Word of God. You don't need to put your hand on the Quran. It's in God we trust. This nation was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. We're a godly nation. We were founded on Judeo-Christian principles. We had one former president say we're no longer a Christian nation. Well, I differ with that former president. We are a Christian nation founded on Judeo-Christian principles. And we wonder why we're collapsing, falling apart, can't get rid of whatever the deficit now is, 40-something trillion dollars, and we've got homelessness and are rampant in our streets. We look like almost a third-world country. Because you know why? We've thrown God out. We've hungered after things and stuff and more of this and can't get enough cosmetic surgery. You get one cosmetic surgery, you got to have 15 more done. You know, that's not enough. You got to go get another mansion. You get one mansion, you want another mansion. And again, I'm not against mansions and homes and things, but I think we're too full of stuff. I really do. I think we're too full of stuff. And our government, we can't even get along. The Senate argues and the Democrats and Republicans, they are arguing. Why can't we get along with one another? Why can't we? You know? And if we're not careful, maybe in the days to come, we won't have the freedom that we have, that the men and women that died in our country that saved you and I, that gave that freedom, that we can live this life that we're living. You know, let the church, my prayer is that the church, we wake up. This is not a political stance, and I'm not picking on any one person. I don't want to. But, you know, we need to be building people in America. We need to be building people up, not building our churches up, not building our big mansions up. We need to be after people. And that's what Jesus did on that cross, that He shed His precious blood that you and I might have life and life more abundantly. But if we're not careful, I'm telling you, if we're not careful, I tell you what, God help us. Nick, God help us. Mm-hmm. You know, because we could, now the Charlie Kirk talked about, you know, the kids going to universities being brainwashed and, you know, socialism and, you know, we could turn. I had one girl that I shared with on US One. She said, "Down with America." She said, "We need a revolution." And I pulled the car over, or my truck rather, and I said, "You're right. You're right, sister. We need a revolution." She said, "Right, brother. You're on my side." And I said, and then she started saying, "Down with capitalism. Down with America." And I said, "Why? Why? Why are you? We need a revolution, all right, but we need a revolution for Jesus." And she said, "Get out of here." I said, "No, do you know Christ? You know?" And we're just almost godless in this nation. We're anti-Christian. We're anti this, and we're just so anti-Jewish now. We don't want the Jews. We don't want to talk about them. We hate them. We hate this one. We hate this. Does anyone love anyone anymore? You know? Well, if you don't like them, just pray for them. You really need Jesus then. You really need that. The crux of the matter is, Mr. President, we need Jesus. Congress, Senate, whether you're Republican or Democrat, you need Jesus. Because what's going to straighten this country out, straighten mankind out, is Jesus.
Mm, yeah.
What do you think, Nick? What do you think of this? You know, it's not, you know, how I talk or how good the politicians talk and talk, and no one respects what they say, and they're arguing, they're constantly bickering, they're constantly fighting. They have a socialistic agenda, most of them, and I could get in trouble for saying that on this radio program, but, you know, we need to get back to Jesus. Mm. We need, as a nation, to get back to Jesus. Church, I'm calling you to wake up. I'm calling the churches in this land, in America, to wake up. The churches, and I remember reading a story and when Hitler was burning the Jews up at Auschwitz and the death camps, the trains were going by and the Jews were screaming and churches were in session, and the churches were there was one church that was singing, and they could hear the screams of the Jews on their way to be burned and killed. And the choir director said, "Sing louder, choir, sing louder. We don't want to hear their screams. We don't want to hear their screams. We don't want to hear their cries. Let him kill them." You know, we in America, you want for too much. We just want for too much stuff. Again, there's nothing wrong with stuff, but we're too full of it. We're too full of ourselves. We're too full of, what we have. We become fat. We become lazy. We become haughty. And I'm not here to be critical to any church member, any politician. It is time that we as a nation wake up to hear his heart and to come to know the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Great I Am. We're at war and we can't figure this out. We've got a deficit. I had one financial guy that told me, it was a mathematician I read about, said when the deficit was $32.5 trillion, he said it would take, with no interest to pay the $32.5 trillion back, with no interest, if the government could pay that back, would take 3,220 years at $1 million an hour for the government to ever pay that back. You and I would never live to see that, and we're drowning in debt. We're drowning in debt. Yep, they want more. They want more. The Americans, they want more, and they're miserable. The more stuff we get, the more miserable we're becoming. You know, do we have a heart after Christ? What's important, building people or building our mansions? You know, what's important in this life? You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And guess what? All these things will be added. You don't need to follow the stuff. You just need to be following Jesus and knowing him as your Lord and Savior. If you become bitter and angry, you need to come back to the cross. You need to come back to the cross. You need to come back to Jesus. You know, if you've been whining and complaining, you know, you didn't get your cosmetic surgery, or you didn't get this, you didn't get your next Mercedes, you didn't get the next mansion, you didn't get the next, you know, roll the dice, and you didn't get hit the stock market right, you know, don't put your trust in any of that stuff, because it can all crumble. And if it crumbles, you're going to crumble with it. If your security is all in that stuff and not in Christ, you're going to crumble. You're going to crumble. Our identity is not in our things, our degrees, our positions, our titles, our cars, our homes, our mansions, none of that. Our identity is in Christ. If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, I tell you, it is well with my soul. No matter what you go through, he'll walk you through it. And I tell you what, he said, "I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread." Anything you got to share before we close, Nick, on this?
Yeah, I just want to call back to the ending passage in Matthew 9, where it says, "Seek ye first all the things, the kingdom of God." I guess my interpretation of that is our inclination nowadays is to seek the temporary, seek the vanity. But in this calling, it's not only seek ye first the kingdom of God, seek salvation, but also seek what is eternal. You know, like you've been saying, we put so much value in our stuff. Like my computer sort of broke a couple days ago, and I was just depressed because, like, you know, I can't use my computer, I can't use my things. And then I realized, like, I put way too much value in that thing when I should be putting more value in what is eternal. And there's nothing greater that can be offered than the salvation that the Lord offers us. And it's a free gift, by the way.
Yes.
Yet its value is endless. We get to be with our Father for eternity. and all you have to do is repentance and faith, putting your trust in the Lord. It's such a free gift, such a generous gift that we're all given and cannot be achieved by just works alone. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing, and it is what I live by.
Yeah. We all should live by, Nick. Mm-hmm. We all should live by, you know, trusting Him. Trust in the Lord. The Scriptures tell us, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. No matter what you're going through. I mean, I had to pay for my surgery. Then I'm faced with another problem. And then my tooth cracked. And then this happened. And then I got this coming up and this coming up. And you know what? Stay focused. We can get off focus so quickly and so easily. We don't keep our mind on Jesus. Keep them on politics. Pray for the politicians. That's all I'm going to tell you. I'm not here to be political, Danny. I'm not. I don't want to get into that. I believe we need to be praying for these people. They need our prayers. The president, he needs our prayers. We are so out of whack now in this nation. You talk to people and they're mad at this one. They're mad at this one. They're mad at the pastor. They're even mad at the dog. You know, is anyone ever happy anymore? You know, and that's why we go to church. That's why you go to church. Let me tell you something before I close. It's insanity. You know, I work 6 days a week, 5 days a week, whatever, Nick. Now I'm working because I'm, you know, off a little bit. But it's insanity during the week. I don't know about you, Nick. I don't know about you, Danny. But when I go to church, as Pastor Malcolm said, it's one of the most refreshing times of my life. I go there and I worship Christ. I go there and I thought, wow, it's awesome to be in the house of God. When people tell me I don't need church, I can worship God. No, you can't do that. The word says, forsake not the assembly. When you can get out of this crazy world for one day and go into the house of God, as you do, you have a great pastor, Danny, Pastor Paul. When you can go in and worship Jesus and then hear the word of God and be taught by it. Oh, man, I don't know about you. Man, I thought Hawaii was cool when I was in Hawaii. When I go to church, and Nick, thank you for taking me to church last week. I can't drive right now, long distance. I'm a little comfortable driving a long distance, but it was so great going there. Sitting, hearing the word and the worship and praising Jesus, raising my hands up. And I'm not bragging to any of you. It is so refreshing to be in the house of God. You know, some of you said, well, I've been hurt in church. I've been hurt. Well, like Pastor Malcolm says, my pastor, well, if one person's hurt you, there'll be hundreds more coming to encourage you and love on you. You know what? So true. So if you don't go to church, how are you going to hear the word of God? How are you going to worship Christ? How are you going to love on the ones that God's going to bring your way to love on you? You know, we're all a mess. I'm included. You know, we go to church to get cleaned up. We go to church to worship Jesus. We go to the church to hear the word of God and to grow. Come on, church. Let's wake up. Let's encourage one another. That's what the program is about. Encouraging one another daily. What a day is still called a day. Well, Nick, thanks for being on with me.
You're welcome.
Thank you for all that you do, Nick. God bless you and all that you do. Danny, thank you. You listeners, keep on keeping on. I pray the very best is yet to come. God bless you with the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Till next week, God bless you.
You've been listening to Encouraging One Another Ministries, the radio broadcast brought to you by Tom Jones Ministries. Be with us next Thursday at the same time for Encouraging One Another broadcast.